talking about tonight, so it didn't really matter which one we go to as far as starting off at. And we'll probably parlay this into a mini series of what part of the Bible we're under and not under, and we have to obey. And I think there's Christians speaking real ignorance of that. And but we won't get into that too much tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to talk about the title is Use, Don't Abuse Liberty. Use, Don't Abuse Liberty. And 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I'll start at verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, whereof he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Not the message, and I should make it a whole sermon, but knowledge puffeth up. The subject of knowledge is interesting because we're supposed to grow in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and grow in grace and knowledge, and that's good. But there is unused and practical knowledge that is not for the use of edifying, and that knowledge doesn't do anything but make people proud. Theologians are the masters of this. They study and study and study and do nothing for the cause of Christ with what they've studied, and all it does is puff them up. And they're not useful for the cause. And knowledge, God gives you knowledge to change your life or to use it to impact somebody else's life. That's what knowledge is for. Knowledge is not for pride. And so that's important. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice and idols, we know that an idol is nothing but in the world, and that there is none other God but one. So, the subject here is idols and food that's been offered to them. You weren't supposed to eat food sacrificed to idols, and they would just stay clear of it, and Jews would never touch it. And then Christians, where Jews and Gentiles were beginning to get saved, and there were all kinds of believers, and they were getting saved in pagan cities. It wasn't all in Jerusalem, it wasn't all Jews, and so they had this problem where food that was sacrificed to idols would be cheaper, or they'd go to somebody's house, and they didn't know if the meat was sacrificed to idols, and some Christians would eat the food sacrificed to idols, and others would go, how can you possibly do that? That was given to a devil, and it's a devil's meat. And so it became a big deal. There was at least four chapters in the Bible that just discuss this subject and try to calm everybody about it. And it's in the book of Acts, and it's here in 1 Corinthians 8, and I think chapter, somewhere I've written down, but chapter 13 or something of 1 Corinthians, Romans 14, and other chapters. It's there. And it says, an idol is nothing. It's fake. And there is no other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be many gods and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. Those are good verses that show the Trinity also, that there's one God, and a Lord, that means he is God, Jesus Christ. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. They know it was offered to an idol, and they think of it as idolatry, and so it hurts them spiritually. And sometimes they do it in idolatry. But meat commendeth us not to God. It doesn't show that we're mighty and spiritual. For neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. That's where we're focused right there. But if any man see that which thou hast knowledge, sit it at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, ye wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. All right, Don't use liberty. Use liberty, don't abuse liberty. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand your thoughts on this, and we just kind of go on one specific direction of this, Father. And there's many many doors we can go through here, but Lord, as we just go one direction, Lord, I pray you'd guide in that direction and show us, and may the word be rightly divided, and we see how it can apply to us. Speak to our hearts now through the word of God, and may the Spirit lead and guide us into all truth and give us attention and impact our lives, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It says liberty. Do not use liberty as an excuse that'll damage somebody. And verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So you are free to eat this meat, the Bible says, if it's been offered to an idol. But somebody else might have been a Baal worshiper, and now that meat that was offered to Baal, he was there and he did the sacrifice to Baal over and over. And when you can eat it and you're free, there's no law against it. Meat is not gonna destroy somebody. You're not under that law, you're under liberty. And so you can eat it if you want, but if your brother is gonna be defiled by it because he says, I'm gonna eat this with you because you're eating it, but you know, I'm feeling like I'm worshiping the devil while I'm doing this. It says your liberty is now being used for bad. And don't defile your brother because you have liberty in something. Just like I've illustrated this before, if I might be able to go into a restaurant where there's drinking around and there's a bar somewhere in the restaurant and the smell might go into my half where I'm in the restaurant, and it doesn't bother me at all. I have no temptation for alcohol, but my brother is really struggling with it. Just because I'm strong doesn't mean that he's going to be okay. And I shouldn't let him get in trouble because it's easy for me, and doesn't mean that women need to constantly be aware of that men are tempted by their looks, and many women say, "There's no, I don't have a problem being here. Who cares if there's immodestly dressed women?" Well, you're a woman. Think about the man and how he feels and what he has to go through, and you got to think of other people and don't use your liberty wrong. So, what is this liberty thing? Liberty is a couple things but liberty means freedom, and that's the word means. And liberty is being set free from the dominion of the Old Testament law, and also being set free from the power of sin to rule over us. We are not under the law anymore. We read verses that say that. We're under grace. And so we have liberty. We don't have to follow the 613 commandments of the Old Testament. We don't have to bring a certain offering at this time of year to do this certain sacrifice. We don't have to keep this holy day. We don't have to do every single thing. We can wear a piece of clothing that has two different materials in it. They didn't used to be able to do that. There's a lot of laws in the Old Testament, a lot of commandments. We are not under the law because Christ fulfilled the law. Now, another week we'll get into it. Doesn't mean we're not under God's morality. Doesn't mean we're not under a lot of God's commandments. We're just not under all the way of the law in order to keep the law by to believe and to be saved and to follow God's way and become one of God's people. We've got to stay. We don't have to stand under the law. We have a much more simple and secure salvation that takes us out from under the law, because the law could never save anybody. It was just a foreshadow of Christ, as the Bible says. Also, liberty is you're no longer under the power of sin. Sin cannot take you to hell. Sin cannot have dominion over you unless you let it. You've been set free from the power of sin. And so we have liberty from the power of sin, where an unsaved person doesn't have that. Even if they conquer their sin in their life, they'll be proud about it, and they'll be under the bondage of pride. Because sin can have dominion over an unsaved person, but we're set free, so we don't have to let that have dominion over us, and we'll talk a little about that later. So just some things about that liberty and being set free. Just a few thoughts that God gives us. Number one, never purposely offend by your liberty. Never offend somebody by your liberty. Let's go to, we'll look at verse 11 here, while we're here. And through thy knowledge shall thy weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make thy brother, my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now back to Romans. And Romans 14, dealing with the same subject of the meat and idols. You should never use your liberty as a temptation, as something that's going to hurt somebody else. Romans and chapter 14. And verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge us rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, it is unclean. And let verse 16, let not your good be evil spoken of. Again, verse 15, destroy not him with meat. Okay? So it says you don't destroy anybody because of that. All right, now let me make you think I'm crazy here for a sec. More so than normal. So I couldn't prove with you with the Bible that smoking is a sin. Okay? Doesn't say that. Doesn't say thou shalt not smoke. Terrible Bible arguments people use against it. People say God would not want a smoke-filled temple. Yes, he does. He has an altar of incense in his temple. It's a dumb argument who somebody doesn't know the Bible. Okay? Now, am I saying smoking is good? No. Okay? So, I grew up in a home with three smokers. And if secondhand smoke's going to kill you, I'm going to die. Because I had three chain smokers in my house. My house was a fog all the time. Didn't bother me. Never noticed it. I moved out of it. Got away from it. My mom eventually quit smoking. And my mom, the reason she started smoking is because she worked with a bunch of smokers. And she couldn't handle the smoke. So she started smoking so it wouldn't bother her. And that's why she started smoking. And so then eventually she quit smoking. My brother and sister moved out. And then there was no smoke in her house. And now, smoke from smoking drives me crazy. I can't do it. I start choking. I don't know why. I used to not even notice it. But now when I get around smoke, I start choking. The worst thing is I don't get a real sensitive sniffer. My nose isn't super sensitive, but I can smell cigarette smoke. Don't think you'll ever smoke cigarettes and I won't know it. I'll know it. I'll know if you've been around smokers. I just notice it. And the worst thing is, smoke sticks to me. I'm going visiting, I'm inside, and 10 people are smoking. I walk outside, and, hey, Pastor, how you doing? I know what they're thinking. I have not touched a cigarette except for to smash it in weeks. No, it's been probably 35 years. As a little kid, I tried it one time. Never liked it. Never did anything with it. And so, never was a smoker. Praise God. So, I can't prove the Bible says thou shalt not smoke, but I know people really struggle with it. I think it's a terrible testimony. And I don't think it's good to smoke. I don't think you should smoke. I think that when you smoke, then you can go ahead and live with your girlfriend. The unsaved will say, hey, man, that's cool. You're a Christian. You're a Christian and you smoke. They're going to say, you smoke and you're a Christian? I mean, that's what they do. And it's kind of strange about that. I don't think you should smoke. I think it's terrible testimony. It abstains from all appearance of evil, and you shouldn't do it. But let's say I have a couple friends who are trying to give up smoking. I have no conviction that I shouldn't smoke. I just light up right in front of them and start smoking. Let's say it isn't going to bother me at all. I don't think there's anything bad about it. Should I still do it? Or am I going to make them struggle? I shouldn't do it. See, even if you say it's okay for me, and I'm not saying it's okay for me to smoke. Now, I told my wife, I love the smell of pipe tobacco, you know, the English stuff. Those things, I love that smell. And I think that's okay if I start doing that. Spurgeon did it, and it must be okay. But if I started smoking, I don't want to offend somebody because I feel like I have liberty for something. Okay? I want to see, oftentimes if I do something and you do something, you are putting your stamp of approval on it, and many people who will struggle with it will follow you. And they'll fall because of it. Just because you don't struggle with it. And so you want to be very careful about doing that. Don't purposely offend or hurt people with your liberty. Number two, our freedom. Use your liberty to love and to serve. Let me take you to 1 Peter. Use your liberty to love and to serve. I want to explain liberty, and we'll get that a little later in the message. Kind of got a bunch of things coming together, and I want to illustrate it for you, then it'll help you understand it a little better. 1 Peter chapter 2. And your liberty, use your liberty to love and to serve. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. As the servants of God. Then 2 Peter chapter 2. Use your liberty to love and to serve. So as you said there, as a servants of God, in 2 Peter 2, verse 17, it says, these are wells without water, talking about people who are false prophets and people who are trying to use your liberty wrongly. And these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them who live in error. And while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. You should use your liberty not to be brought into bondage, but to serve and to love and to help other people. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, let us not use it, but liberty for the flesh, but to love and serve one another. Let me illustrate it this way. So here's some guy who has a lot of things done, and he wants to help a lot of people, and he comes to you and says, you know what, you have a lot of gifts, I want you to help all these people I want to help. And so what I'm going to do is I want you to go full-time work and help people. And you say, great, except for I have to pay my bills, I have to eat, I have to do all these things. And he says, you know what, I will pay all of your bills, I'm going to pay off your house, I'm going to give you every month a card that's going to give you all the food you want, a gas card, and you know what? I want you to be free to do nothing but help these people I want to help. I've set you free from all of the things of serving for money and trying to earn a living and take care of your bills. I've set you free from that, so you have free time now to go help people. Do you understand? You got set free. Now you have the time. Go love and serve with your freedom. That's why you'd be set free. You'd be set free for that reason. God set us free from the power of sin, and he set us free from the bondage of the law, so we are now free to serve him and free to serve others. Because the one key word comes in with freedom, and that's called willingly. Willingly. I willingly serve the Lord now, not by bondage. I've been set free. In the Bible, they had what was called a bondservant, and these bondservants were a servant who just decided they loved the family so much, they were going to give their life to just serve in the family, and they were going to be their free servant for the rest of their life. They didn't have to do it. It was a willing thing, and when you did it, they did this process. They took your ear and nailed your ear to the door with an awl, and you were now marked as that family's bondservant, but you did it because they were treated you right, you loved them, you felt like their child, and you were free, but you decided to take your freedom and give it to serving those particular people, and you are now a servant who went and served those people willingly, and the Bible had a process for doing that, and you were doing that because you wanted to. Let's just illustrate this with why many people came to America. Many people came to America because they did not feel they were free in their old land. Now understand, in whether it's Ireland or England or somewhere in Europe, it wasn't that they weren't free to go do bad things. They were not free to go anywhere in life. They were stuck because their dad before them and their dad before them and their dad before them lived on a little piece of land. They belonged to a duke or an earl somewhere. And they would, the duke and the earl took a big chunk of their income. And all they could do is basically make a living and then hand it to their kids. Their kids can continue to make a living and make the earl rich and have food and enough saved up to just do that. And they said, you know what? We are not free people. We don't own anything. We can't go anywhere in life. We can't move up in life. All we can do is just work and slave so we can feed ourselves. We don't feel like we're free here. And they tell us what we can and can't do and how much money they're going to take from us and when our kids are going to go off to war. And we don't have any freedom. We heard about this new country of opportunity where every man could just make his own way and be free to do whatever they want and to go and make their own way. And if they fail, they fail. If they make it, they make it. And we're going to go to America. And some of them came here and they went flat broke and it didn't go well for them. They picked the wrong piece of land. The Indians attacked. A massive crop failure. But they didn't mind that because they were free now to do what they wanted to do in the pursuit of happiness. They felt free. Okay? The people who came to America and wanted freedom, give me liberty or give me death, When England came in and said, we started these colonies, we want this from you and this from you and this from you, they said, we're losing our liberty, we'd rather die. But that liberty was not, that liberty was not so they could go around and do a bunch of bad things. Freedom is not like Americans are telling you, like everybody tells you now. Freedom is be able to go do all the things you want to do. That means they want to watch pornography and do crime and have gay marriage and do a bunch of bad things. It's not what freedom is for. Freedom is the freedom to do right. I can go and raise my family the way I want to. I can train my kids. I can have the religion I want to have, and nobody can tell me what religion I have to have. That's freedom, so we can choose to serve God like he wants us to serve him, not like the state is telling us we have to serve him. That's freedom. And so they want that kind of freedom so they can willingly do what they think is right, what they want to do. Freedom is not there. If God gives you freedom and he sets you free from the power of sin, it is not so you can go and do bad. So now you are free to willingly serve God and serve others. You're not under the bondage of the law anymore and trying to serve the law. Now you're free to serve God willingly with your heart and go serve others because God wants you to do that. Your freedom is there to love and to serve. Real liberty doesn't lead to bondage. That's very important. These people, it says, while they promise them liberty, 1 Peter 2:19, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Real freedom and God's liberty. And so many Christians say, hey, I'm under grace. I'm under liberty. I can go out and watch that and listen to that and do that. No, that's not what liberty's for. Liberty, and we'll get to the point, I'm getting ahead of myself. Liberty is not to do bad. It's so you can willingly serve God. And so you can choose to serve God, and so you're not under the law, and you can choose to do right. And if eating meat, even though it's free for me to do, if the eating that meat that's been sacrificed to an idol is going to offend my brother, I'm not going to do it because I'm free to do right. And I want to be a blessing to them. And so you do that. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 is a good chapter on this. When you get saved, you're under grace, and we'll read that a little later in Romans 6. It doesn't lead to bondage. Liberty does not lead to bondage. So somebody says, I'm free to go do drugs. You're leading to bondage. And you're not going to have any liberty. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in a liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Context, Galatian churches had been set free, understood grace, and came to Christ, and now they had false prophets come in and said, you've got to go back to the law to be saved. And you got to circumcise your children. If they don't circumcise them, they're not circumcised, they're not going to be saved. And you're not saved if you don't get circumcised now, even though you're a Gentile, because if you're not keeping the law, only the law can save you, and you've got to go back to the law. And Paul said, do not go back into the law of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if he be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Do you see how it's leading to bondage? if you're going to be saved by the law, you got to do the whole thing. Every single commandment, you can't mess up once. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're free. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little work salvation. I have confidence in you through the Spirit, Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense that Christ ceased. I wish they were even cut off, which trouble you. Get rid of them. I want them gone. And so he says, you know what? They lead to bondage. Liberty leads to freedom. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The victorious Christian life is not bondage to sin and bondage to certain things. If you're using your liberty to take you into bondage, it's not liberty. And it doesn't do that. You're saved. Freely show the Lord that you want to serve him. Next, do not use liberty to do things in the flesh. Do not use your liberty to do sinful fleshly things is a better way to say it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, we're right there. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but to love and serve one another. It is not there for you to go do wrong. So here's the thing. You got to understand this. We believe in a secure salvation. He is able to save them to the uttermost. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's so many verses. John 5, 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He already has it. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Salvation is secure in the Bible. You're passed from death unto life. You're not in a process. You're done. You're saved, okay? Because of that, somebody could say, well, man, if I'm saved, I can just go do whatever I want. Because I have liberty. Now, I'm not under the law to be saved. No. The Bible addresses that in that way of thinking there. Right here, for brethren, you've been called into liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but to love and to serve one another. Let's go back to Romans 5 and 6, because it talks about this very specifically. Are you with me? Ooh. That was not encouraging. Two of you were. All right, good. You with me? You have liberty to stay awake or to space off. I have liberty to throw a songbook at you if you fall asleep. And all right, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So when sin does something, grace is more powerful and abounds over it. So Romans 6 all of a sudden says, well, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That grace will abound over that sin? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin to live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death. And so we see that he says, you know what, this is not to continue in sin. Liberty is not to continue in sin. We see that. And so sin is not supposed to have dominion over you anymore. Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness. Now you yield yourself unto sin if you want to, but do not do that, because you're set free. You're set free from the power of sin. You're set free from the law, but don't go back and live in sin because your salvation is secure. No, God forbid, we are dead to sin. Why would we want to live any longer therein in the sin which doesn't have dominion over us anymore? We've been set free. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. We are not under the law, it says right there. But sin should not have dominion over you. It's not for you to go do something wrong. It's not for you to go out and sin. It's not for you to go be sinful because you have a secure salvation. Don't use liberty as an occasion of the flesh, because now you've been set free. You love the Lord enough. Now you have no bills. Good, I'll go charge up a bunch more bills. That's not why he paid your bills. Look up here, girls. Right back here. Look up here. There we go. And we don't want to, your bills have been paid off. Why would you want to go back and charge a bunch of stuff? You say, look, I got no bills. I can go charge a bunch more stuff up. No. Now you're in bondage again. You were set free to go do something good, not do something bad. Because sin no longer has power over you. It can't take you to hell. Jesus Christ has set you free from the power of sin. Does not mean that somebody will take themselves with their freedom and lock themselves back up. See, imagine this. You're in a cell and all of a sudden God comes in and he breaks the lock and he says, you've been set free. Come on out. And you come out and say, good, I've been set free. I no longer am in bondage to this. I've been set free through Jesus Christ and he's broken the power of sin. And now I've been set free. And he says, all right, now you're free. Now I want you to go out while you have this freedom and go do some things for me and serve me and love me. But you know what some people do? I'm free. I can go wherever I want. I'm going to go back and sit in that jail cell. Because I can. And because I got used to it. That pillow kind of fit my head. And they go back and sit in a jail cell with no lock on it. And the power of sin. And that's not why you're given liberty to go back to jail. You're not under the law, but under grace. So now you might yield yourself, even though you've been set free. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God, we think you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You follow? You're set free. Go take the freedom in Christ and say, Lord, look how much I love you. I don't have to give this money. I'm not under the law, but I want to give you this. Lord, I don't have to go win that soul to Christ to go to heaven, but I want to do this because I love them and I'm going to serve them and I love you. And you use your freedom. You know, the saddest thing, that the most frustrating thing you ever hear from people is in the Christian life is, do I have to? Oh, man, you get to serve God. You don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. God's not going to kill you and take away your salvation if you don't read your Bible. You cannot read your Bible the rest of your life. But you're putting yourself in bondage and missing out. You are set free. You don't have to pray, but you get to. You don't have to tell the Lord you love him and give him your heart. You don't have to forgive your enemies. You don't have to do these things. You're in liberty. But why would you want to go back to the bondage that you were in before when God set you free so you don't have to do these things? So much of the Christian life is God saying, go ahead, what do you want to do? How far do you want to go with me? How close do you want to be with me? How much do you want to do for me? God is not putting you under the law. You're under the law of liberty, which is, I want to. But you can go sit in a jail cell too if you want. And live in. Now, God certainly sets you free and doesn't want you in there and took you out of it. And he convicts you and he'll speak to your heart. And if you're never set free, you're never saved. However, doesn't mean you can't use that liberty as an occasion for the flesh. That's why God warns us not to multiple times. Jesus Christ, the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Don't walk back into prison. Your salvation is secure, but you don't use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. Yes, you could do whatever you wanted to do with your life, and God calls you to go be a missionary to the Navajo Indians, and you say, I'd rather, you know what, I want to go be a doctor of divinity at this place. You can do that. God's giving you liberty. He's giving you free will, and he saved you. But why would you not want to do the will of God for your life? You're free to serve God. Why would you want to use your liberty to make somebody else stumble? Liberty is freedom. And we're supposed to use the liberty to do good things. We've been given that liberty to come to victory. Can you imagine if someone went to America after all that, got on the ship, somehow stayed every day? That's what they did. They would work, and the parent would, they would go without food. They would save every dime. Sometimes multiple families would pool their money and send the most competent of their children to America and say, when you get there, find a way to earn enough money to bring us over. And can you imagine if that person who was set free from all that generational bondage and they get to America and they say, where is somebody who will go and be my master? You've not been set free, but to do great, you've been set free to do great things and not to go back into bondage. See, when the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Free for victory. Sin can't control you. Free to serve the Lord. Free to serve people. Free to do the will of God. And and people on the outside who have never been set free from sin are sitting there in their jail cell going, you're not free. You're stuck. Everywhere you go is underneath the blue sky. Because they don't understand it. They think that their bondage, they think because we don't do their bondage, we're not free. We don't lock ourselves in a cell. If you'll get that, it's very profound. You're free to have victory. Don't use your liberty to serve the Lord. Don't abuse your liberty. That's what liberty is for. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you. Teach us about liberty, and thank you. You give us freedom, Father. And Lord, help us to yield ourselves to you. Lord, we're not going to continue in sin that grace may abound. We're dead to sin. Lord, help us, though we could eat that meat, if it's going to offend our brother, help us not to do it. Help us to live in freedom and in victory for you. And we thank you. Your word says a lot about this. And Lord, you got a lot more things to explore on this, Father. And it was kind of a little trepidation to kind of wade into it because there's so many other things and that we need to talk about this, Father. But I pray tonight, whatever your purpose was in this lesson, I pray that your word wouldn't return void, but that it would accomplish the purpose you had for tonight, and that we would be living in freedom and willingly serving you because you saved us and we love you, and because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and because we're no longer under the power of sin unless we decide to yield to it. Help us not to do so in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This message was just where God just guided me, and